Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Here's our hook. Today we are exploring Iceland's most bizarre legends, from a giant worm lurking in the depths of a mysterious lake to the elusive huldufólk.
Yay!
The hidden people who might just live in your backyard. Whether you're here for giant monsters or secret elves, this episode will take you on a journey through a few of Iceland's strangest and most enchanting paranormal stories.
Yippee!
Welcome back to the Paranormal Classroom, where we take attendance for the unexplained. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay. And we're two teacher moms talking about stuff that freaks us out.
You're going to Iceland!
Yep. Hopefully this one will air.
While you're in Iceland.
While I'm there, which is like, God, come fast. July 28th, I think, is when I land in Iceland, Reykjavik. 28th or 29th? 28th, I think. Monday the 28th, I think, is what it is, of July.
Very so, cool. What are you looking forward to seeing most?
All the geology. Mm-hmm. I could live in Iceland. It's one of the happiest countries in the world. Lowest crime rates in the world. They have 0% energy. What's the word I'm looking for? Energy import. They produce 100% of their own energy. Geothermal energy. Mm-hmm. From volcanic stuff. They have all the hot springs. I'm really looking forward to the Blue Lagoon hot spring, which is highly trafficked by tourists. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Get me in that water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
I'm excited for you. If I don't like traveling, but Iceland would be on my list. Iceland, Finland, Norway. I'm really into those.
Well, you're also super countries. Into cold places.
I love it cold. I like people who are calm. Tempered, happy, intelligent.
There's also the Penis Museum in Reykjavik. Oh, I'm not saying that would be on your bucket list, but we are going. Family of four.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it.
And it was started by a teacher.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. What else are you going to see?
The Rainbow Road, which is a street that's painted like rainbow. It's very Pride-esque.
Neat.
And just really cool scenery. I wish we had more time there. We're only there for a few days. Mm-hmm. I definitely already know I want to go back, and I want to take like a Shetland pony ride down to explore some of these kind of volcanic areas, and then I want to do a boat tour to see the puffins. They have puffins and whales, and but we're not going to be there that long.
Well, maybe I can drop the courage to go with you, because it really is on my list of places I would love to see.
Oh my God, you and I would have
it's a short
an
list.
Incredible time.
We'd have a great time, and I'd be in my element.
We need to cold. Make it happen. Yeah. Life's short. We gotta just do it. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Bring me to the huldufólk.
Here we go. Well, actually, first I'm going to tell you
about this wormy worm.
Yeah, it's like their Loch Ness monster. They have one.
They shot real low, though. Let's just say it's a giant worm.
It's a worm.
It's not this glorified, you know, ancient beast left over from last time. It's just a worm.
Great. For this episode, I'm going to be attempting to pronounce a lot of Icelandic words.
Oh, good luck.
And I'm not going to do it well. So if you want, like when you're editing, you can throw in the actual
pronunciations of things. Okay.
So we can see how we do.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we're going to learn about the Lagerfljót worm.
Okay.
Iceland's elusive lake monster. And really similar to the Loch Ness monster, which we've all heard of.
Yeah.
So Lake Lagerfljót. Lagerfljord is located in eastern Iceland near the town of Elgilsdóttir.
It sounds like you're drunk.
I don't even know if I'm making the right phoneme sound because what there's like letters in. They're called graphemes. It's letters. There's graphemes in Iceland that are not in American, like letters. They're not. I don't know what this letter is.
E G I L S S A
T A, and then this weird thing. It's like an O with a squiggly on top of it, and then I R.
Okay, let's see how you pronounce it. First of all, it's in the eastern side. We're only going to the southwestern.
Oh, you're corner. Not gonna see the giant worm. I'm not
unless he makes a trek. How do we say this word? Okay, how to pronounce? We gotta know.
Egilstoffer.
My daughter for a while was doing what's the Duolingo?
Oh yeah.
Icelandic.
Oh wow. Because
we fell in love with the movie Eurovision.
Oh, Eurovision is so good.
And so that's part of the reason we're going.
So there's a musician that I'm obsessed with from Eurovision. He's from Iceland. His name is Daddy Freyr.
Freyr.
Could you like pop in some of his music?
Okay.
Shut up. Waiting in the car cause I didn't want to see anybody. I have to get over my nerves every time I talk to somebody new. I'd like to think I'm extroverted, but honestly it comes and goes. Sometimes I'll be disconcerted, so I keep telling myself over and over to shut up.
How do you say his name?
Daddy, D-A-D-I, Freyr, F-R-E-Y-R. Everybody check him out. Check him out. You will not be sad. He's like got great videos, great music. From Iceland, very Eurovision-y.
I'm sure my daughter knows who it is. We'll find out, though. Okay, so how do we pronounce this? Egilsdóttir. Let's look.
Egilsdóttir.
Oh.
Egilsdóttir.
Do it again.
Egilsdóttir.
Egilsdóttir.
Okay.
Please like, share,
and subscribe.
Egilsdóttir. Wow! God, that's a lot of consonants.
That's the town. We're just going to call it the town. It'll stop there. This is the town where there's a lake nearby. This lake, Lagerfljord. And the first documented sighting was from 1345. 1345.
How the heck do they know?
I don't documented. Know if they must have documented.
So in some guys inking... Inking. Don't look at me like that. The little inkwell and dipping a pen and
yeah.
Onto some lambskin.
Yes, that's paper. Exactly it. Yes. He's taking.
The things they chose to write about. Like, it was painstaking to document anything.
Well, they did. I mean, it must have been worm. It had to be like.
That's noteworthy.
Surprising to them. Noteworthy. Yeah. It was a serpentine, snake like giant worm, is how they describe
Tremors.
It. Over the centuries, numerous sightings have been reported. So it's got lots of witnesses, which I love.
You love a witness.
Lots of witnesses, people taking photos. In 2012, one of the best videos that we have of it, a sheep farmer in 2012 named Hjortur Kjærulf.
I'm not laughing at their names. I'm laughing at the way we're pronouncing
them. The way I'm
trying
to do. I'm like very focused. Like, yes. Hjortur Kjærulf. He recorded video footage of the creature swimming in the lake, which I'm going to make you pull up on YouTube and look at.
Oh, my.
The footage was aired by the Icelandic National Broadcast.
This was like, what year?
On 2012.
What?
Yeah. So they air it on the news, and it got a bunch of attention, and they're like...
And well, nowadays you couldn't trust it. It could be AI generated.
Absolutely. But this is 2012. 2012. And so the national broadcast company that took the video, they have a team of people. There were like 12 people on this team. And it's their job to review video and photos and certify it as authentic or not.
Okay.
Like they pull them out when they need to check something like this. And they certified it as authentic. And the guy, the sheep farmer, Hjortur, was awarded prize money because it counted as, like, they considered it proof of the worm's existence, which they'd been waiting for. They've been, like, saving up prize money, and he won it.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Well done, sheep farmer.
The prize money was $500,000 Icelandic krona from the Fljótsdalahérað municipality, which is roughly, it's roughly equivalent to $4,700.
Oh my gosh. That's, they've been saving up. I'm thinking they've been saving up since 1345. Well, it's only $4,700. It's not super impressive.
No, but it is cool. It's like,
that's very
cool,
cute.
Yeah.
What a claim to fame. I'm the one who nabbed that video. Okay, now should
I want
look
you to look
up?
At it. So just YouTube 2012 Lagerflor.
Sure, I'll just spell that
really
real quick.
Really struggling with this.
How do you spell it? Lager.
Lagar. Fljot.
Okay.
Worm. 2012.
Worm I got. Worm I can spell. 2012. February 2012. I said, I think I've seen this. Okay, here we go. Where is it at? Give me this worm. Give me the worm.
Well, America has Bigfoot, Nepal has the abominable snowman, and apparently Iceland has a giant worm monster. Seriously, recently an alleged sighting of the mystery beast caught on tape has reignited the myth. So ABC's Jeffrey Kaufman went to see if he could get a glimpse for himself.
Yeah.
What's that?
Whoa.
Can you see it? That squiggly thing in the water? Suddenly, Iceland isn't laughing about its own version of the Loch Ness Monster.
That's it, basically. That was the video.
In a country of odd natural wonders, lots of ice and snow.
Hold on, let me back that up.
Thing in the water? Suddenly, Iceland isn't laughing about its own version of the Loch Ness Monster.
I don't think it's a living thing. It looks like flotsam to me. Flotsam and jetsam.
You don't think it looks like it's
No, it
it's
looks like
gyrating?
The water's doing it. That's because it's at an angle. It's not rounded. So, watch. It just looks like the something in, like, the motion of the water, and yeah, maybe some other flotsam and jetsam is pushing it.
The mystery beast caught on tape has reignited the myth. So ABC's Jeffrey Kaufman went to see if he could get a glimpse for himself.
So watch. See how the water's flowing this way?
Everything in the water? Suddenly, Iceland isn't laughing about its own version of the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, I feel like it looks like the tail part's kind of...
I mean, I can see either way, but that is not convincing enough for me.
Not for Lindsay. No.
And I'm pretty easy to convince.
No, you wouldn't have given out that prize money. You'd have been like, you gotta try harder.
I'd have been like, that's weird, but I think we can replicate it. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have gone down there and been like, all right, let's get some of the stuff that's floating around in the water.
And try.
Is
that's
there anything
smart
that we could, yeah, could this have been something that came off of a boat or mm-hmm a skiff of some kind or, I don't know, but... It doesn't move right to me. And it's pretty flat.
It's very flat. It reminds me of like a flatworm in a amoeba dish under a microscope.
Yeah, they're not famous for swimming.
Right? No, like, but that's what it looks like, but like a giant version of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I would need a lot more convincing. I'm a little concerned about the aptitude of these ABC researcher media verifiers. I don't know. I got questions.
I'll allow it. I'll allow your questioning. But I think it's possible. We find animals all the time, right?
I believe anything's possible.
Yeah, and especially in like a remote area with a giant body of water. Sure. I think there could be something living in there we don't know about.
And okay, so I'll give you this. And I don't mean you. I mean the general you. There's a lot of geothermic temperature changes in the water around there. Like you can go from boiling hot to ice cold, mm-hmm, right? And everything in between. And we know that down at like the thermal vents, there are these worms, really weird right little worms that come up out of the sand when nobody's looking. They have it on video. Mm-hmm. So it could be something like a giant version of that broke loose. Maybe it's not even alive anymore. Or maybe it's just, it can survive in a variety of different water temperatures because of the nature of its biology being so kooky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I will entertain that possibility.
It's not as cute as Loch Ness.
It's not cute at all. There's no shirts being made.
No. Giant worm. That's the giant worm story. Okay, so I'm going to move on now to the Rakeholt Haunted House.
Ooh. Where's that? Reykjavik.
Reykjavik.
But where? What part of Iceland?
Reykjavik is like the only word I can pronounce on here. It's in Western Iceland. You going to Western?
I'm going to Western Iceland.
Okay.
See, do you have a map?
No.
Should I look on a map? Reykjavik.
Reykjolt. I know you only have 2 days there, but
I have 3 days.
3 days. If you get time, it's a village, but it's a famous spot for paranormal investigators to go, where they go and they get a lot of footage. So it's one of those like Sally House or something.
Let's look at the map. Oh, it's pretty far. So I'm gonna be.
Are you mean the main city, Reykjavik?
Reykjavik, yeah. Reykjavik. So here's Reykjavik.
That does look pretty far.
And there's Reykjavik. Okay, so they're from here to here. So that's quite a bit. So if this is, what's the measurement here? What's the...
Can you do driving directions and it would tell you how long?
I could actually, yes. I'm just going to try to get an estimate with the... Oh, it's maybe... It could be only like 40 miles. That's not too bad.
If you're willing to give up a night of sleep, you know, you leave your family at the hotel and go ghost hunting.
Hell no.
You'd bring them with you?
By myself?
Do it for the podcast.
I'm sure there are, I bet there's like tours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Reykjavik ghost tour. Ghost tours, by the way, are my favorite way to learn about a place, city, because it's just fun. It's campy sometimes and fun, around. But it's also based on real history as well. I just think it's a really fun way to do.
It is. If you ever come to Seattle, you know, we live near Seattle, fantastic underground ghost tour. But really the cool part of it is not the ghosty stuff, but learning that Seattle was like built up on silts, and like, so there's this whole underground world.
Because it burned down. The original city burned.
It's a really cool tour.
Yeah, it is neat. I love it. The ghost tour, the market tours is awesome too.
I know. I have a friend who worked there as one of the tour guides, and he's got all kinds of stories.
Oh, I bet.
Nothing like serious, but all the typical paranormal stories you hear, like people get touched or scratched or they hear things, see
lights,
shadows.
Weird things. Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool. Now it makes me want to plan a whole other Europe trip and just do all ghost tours.
Oh, that'd be really neat. That'd be really neat. There's people out there probably doing that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we could plan our own, like, if we wanted to go. Oh, man, I'm so down for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know who'd probably go with us?
Who?
Chicago Mark.
Chicago Mark!
And his lovely wife, Mariah, would be a good sport, and she'd come too. And same with Mike. He'd be a good sport.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that would be a really fun trip. My daughter, of course, would go. She loves stuff like that. Not my son so much.
Neat. Well, I don't have a lot to tell you about the Reykjavik haunted house. It's just like a typical, really good haunted place to.
So it's a historical home.
Mm-hmm.
And then when was it built?
It's just like a good. I don't know when it was built. Sorry, I didn't look it up. Super good. I just know that it's. If you're going to go look at a haunted house, it's got a good chance of you having something weird happen there. It's going to be that house
in
Iceland.
Fair enough.
Okay, we're going to move on now to the Huldufólk, which you know about.
Huldufólk.
What do you know about the Huldufólk? How do you say it?
Well, I don't know how to say it, but I've always sort of just said the Huldufólk. But it's like the little people. Mm-hmm. And again, Eurovision references it.
Oh, they did.
She takes elves very seriously. And Will Ferrell's character sort of mocks them. And she's like, oh, no, 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 no. And the elves play a significant role in the storyline. I won't, no spoilers, but a small but significant part of the plot is revolved around elves. So, yeah, these little people, elf-like things, that's a very significant part of culture for a lot of Icelandic people. Mm-hmm. And they'll build, like, little homes, tiny little villages for them, leave out food and drink for them, and they know that they can be real troublemakers, like we talked about pugwudgies last week. Like, they can be super naughty, super mean, super harmful, but they can also be helpful, and so you have to appease them, you have to take care of them, you have to feed them, all those things. They live in little colorful little houses. They're very colorful, associated with a lot of bright colors and stuff, I think.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You nailed it. The term huldufólk means hidden people.
Okay, hidden people.
And they're beings that are believed to live in nature, like in the rocks and hills and mountains, that are invisible to most humans. But if you're lucky enough, you can see them. The lore likely dates back to pre-Christian times, blending pagan nature spirits with folk beliefs from the early Norse settlers. And over centuries, those stories evolved, mixing like respect for nature stories with cautionary tales about disturbing the environment.
Oh, okay. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I wish we had more stories that people had hooked on to, latched on to.
We've got to have them from like our native.
Oh, absolutely, we do. But that's, again, in our greatest asset is our diversity, but also it provides for us a lack of a cultural,
right,
common cultural identity. So we don't have those kinds of things that we've passed down throughout, you know, everybody.
Other countries like us that are like that, where they're just like a melting pot, but so they don't have a good of their own.
That's a really good question. I don't know. I would think maybe Australia.
Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Because it's another, you know, it's an English mm-hmm. colony. It was their jail. It was an extension of their jail.
Crazy story.
And then, of course, there's the indigenous peoples there as well, the mm-hmm. Aborigines. And so I think there is probably kind of a quote unquote melting pot vibe there. And maybe it is hard to have a plus it's a continent, it's a country and also a continent, it's large,
yeah,
and a huge portion of it is split by the Dingo Fence.
I didn't know that. There's a fence largest, that runs
the longest man-made structure, longer than the Great Wall of China.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Meant to what?
To separate the sheep and the sheep farmers from the dingoes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So they managed to get all the dingoes on one side of the
country?
They're
like, dingoes, hey, over here.
How did they do that?
I don't know. I'm sure it took a while to weed, you know, and I'm sure there was round probably a straggler, you know, here and there. Mm-hmm. Hiding behind a tree, like your kid at the playground. But yeah, they keep them separate so that they can save their sheepies.
And their babies.
I don't know what the dingo
and their babies.
Yes, although that was all. The dingo ate my baby was
a made-up story.
She killed the baby.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
Yeah, she blamed the dingo.
Now we're a murder podcast.
Yeah, no. Well, we can delete that part.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a really cool story about the huldufólk. Well,
please.
I think it's cool. So there's this area near Reykjavik called the Alftanes. I want you to go there because the Alftanes is known for elf roads, which is where, so the people who live there have actually halted construction.
Yes, I've heard about this.
They halted it to protect the elf habitats.
God, I love that.
On the elf roads.
Because you just don't know.
Yeah, like, and they're like, don't mess with it, man. Don't even attempt it.
It's not worth it. It's
build
not
your
worth
road
it.
Around it.
It's truly, and I think that probably is truly like centered in geology. Like there's something about this land that we just know is structurally we would not be wise.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably been things that have happened there, maybe landslides over the decades or something, recorded incidents. It's like, nope, this place is home to the elves. We got to mm-hmm. steer clear. And I love that.
I do too.
I think that's fantastic.
I mean, I think some people will be hearing it and be like, that's crazy. What a waste of money. But
it's not our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to think of something that we might do. Well, of course, we had the whole era of the owl. Remember that? Where we had to protect the trees and we got it to be an endangered species.
Well, we've done that with our bald eagles, haven't we?
Yes, we did bring them back from the brink of
extinction. We brought them back.
I like I'm trying to think of another thing where we might divert or something. The only thing I could think is that society might freak out if you tried to like bulldoze an old like football stadium or baseball stadium. Nope.
No,
you gotta build
around. Don't touch my sports.
You gotta build around. There may not even be any games played there anymore. Like it's just empty. But you know, the history, the memories, you don't wanna torque off the football gods, like leave it alone. That's kind of the only thing I can think that might be kind of a superstitious
right.
thing that right. a lot of Americans that's might
so,
share.
We're so weird. Not me. I don't care about sports. I love to do like trivia, bar trivia, but I nail a lot of it, but I can't even touch any of the sports questions.
Oh, did I tell I'm you? Terrible. So I told you that Mike and I went randomly to trivia yeah. and we won.
And you won.
And then we won Mariners tickets. But then the next night was my campaign kickoff thing, mm-hmm. like the chili cook-off, my very first speaking engagement. And the tickets never arrived anyway. And so we were like, what? Well, my husband went like just last week, popped in and saw the trivia guy there. And he was like, hey, just so you know, we never got the tickets, but it's okay because we had a conflict anyway. And the guy gave us a $100 gift certificate.
Wow. That's really nice.
Yeah.
I want to be on your team. We would be such a power team.
We listen, it was just the two of us and we beat right. all of the teams of like 4 to 6 people.
Fun.
Yeah. Get in there.
Well, I'm really hoping you can try and go visit the Alftanes and grab a picture for me. So it's a peninsula near Reykjavik.
Okay.
And it's known for its beautiful coastline and rocky hills. And they're all believed to be inhabited by okay, elves.
Okay, I want to go. We'll go.
You should go. In the late 20th century, the local authorities had planned to build a road right through one of those rocky areas to improve the infrastructure. But before the construction began, the local residents came out and had a big protest. And they were sharing, they were like, no, we've all seen, like, people are sharing their stories. I've seen elves here. You can't
whoa.
Touch it. Yeah. And the workers came out because they were like really about to build the road there. So the
spotted
workers
owl.
Are there.
It was the spotted owl.
Oh, I did hear about that.
Okay, keep going.
The workers were already out there, like setting up their equipment, getting ready, surveying, whatever. And they have reports of strange phenomena happening during their attempts
yep.
to start initial construction. Tools malfunctioning,
mm-hmm.
equipment breaking,
people getting hurt
without yep. a known cause. So the combination of the protests and the unusual incidents, they led to the construction being halted and rerouted so they wouldn't disturb the elf habitat.
I love it.
You need to make another sign. You know how you made us a Pukwudgie sign?
Mm-hmm.
What would your elf habitat sign look like?
It would be like, okay, picture it, like one of those three peaked like mountain silhouettes, mm-hmm. right? With the pointy tops. And then there'd be like, sort of like the stereotypical like little gnome with the little hat, right? So silhouettes with all their hands on their hips. And there'd be like 8 of them on the tops of these three mountain peaks. And they'd just be like, and then it would say for, instead of saying like for the next 5 miles, it'd be like for the next 50 years of your life.
Cute.
Like, don't mess around.
Cute.
Be a curse. And I just saw a hummingbird in your tree over there, a female hummingbird.
Oh, I love hummingbirds. I want to get around to planting all hummingbird flowers in my backyard.
I have all the seeds, all the bulbs, all the things, mm-hmm. just waiting to finish my deck so that
and
I can actually plant.
Hummingbird. I'm going to come over there a lot.
But my garden's doing pretty well. For the first time ever, I've like actually planted a garden. Well, no, not first time ever. First time in 15 years.
Yeah. Lindsay has a huge backyard. She's building a deck by herself with,
oh, no,
with
no, no.
help.
But with like, significant help. But and my husband's done most of it.
You're doing really cool projects back there.
We're learning a lot. It's taking forever, but we'll get there.
Okay. What do the Hulda folk look like? What do they look like? The descriptions vary widely, but a lot of people say they look like ordinary humans, but a little bit smaller.
Like Uncanny Valley kind of humans? Like,
I don't think they're creepy looking, though. I think they're pretty.
Okay.
This is what...
They're like 75% the size of humans? Like you shrink them down on the printer?
I guess. But you know what's interesting? Is in the Icelandic folklore, the elves wear old-fashioned clothes, like 19th century peasants. That's super weird to me, because every other fairy story that I've heard... They wear more, like, clothes from nature.
Sure.
You know?
Elves, I think, are more industrious. Like, I think just across the board. I've always thought, like, there's the elves and the shoemaker. And Snow White. Oh, no, Snow White.
Those are real tiny
ones. I was thinking Snow White and the Seven Elves. But, like, yeah, the elves and the shoemaker. That's what I always picture.
The tiny elves.
The tiny elves.
You, like, think you picture Keebler elves that make you cookies.
Yeah, pretty much.
I picture more, like, Lord of the Rings. Tall, beautiful
oh,
elves.
Shoot. That's a whole other different...
They're whole different kinds of elves.
Well, then those little houses in Eurovision are far too small.
Well, it must be your kind of elves that you're... Like, tiny. But what I found when
or
I was
researching... Or it's a much more diverse world like... of elves than I realized.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting to think about.
Hmm.
I wonder what people listening picture when we say elves. Like, what are you picturing? You picture teeny tiny like Lindsay's?
Like the tall and thin, like mine. Raise your hand if.
You know what's funny? My husband makes fun of me for this, but I think Legolas in Lord of the Rings is so handsome. He's like my favorite character. But when that actor takes the wig off and the contacts out and he's just himself.
You're like, no, it doesn't like, do it for me.
No.
Put the contacts back in.
Put the hair back on.
It's, I mean, the hair is majestic. The elves have incredible like Pantene sponsorships. It's wild. Their hair is incredible. Legolas doesn't do it for me, no.
I think it's gorgeous.
I mean, I don't know. I like, what's the guy's name?
Is Gimli?
No, that wasn't the one I was going to go with next.
Bilbo.
I'm not a Lord of the Rings expert, even though I've seen them all at least 3 times. What's the guy's name? He's human. He's the one that's in love with Liv Tyler.
He's the main guy. Starts with an A, I think.
Oh, yes. I think you're right. Oh my gosh, our listeners are throwing
They're screaming
things.
At us, but all I can think in my head is Artax, which is totally different. The horse from Neverending
yes,
Story.
Yes.
It's not Artax.
Which was so traumatic, and I never want to talk about it again.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Lord
it's not Atreyu.
It's not Atreyu. We get all our movies mixed up.
Arm and Hammer.
Arm and Hammer? Isn't that like Army Hammer?
I've always thought Army Hammer it's sounded like Army weird, Hammer. And now it's, Army yes, Hammer. Now I know why. And he's also a creep show, so that's fitting.
I'm going to have it in just a second here.
Let's see if we can get it, though.
Aragorn.
I was going to say Aegon next.
Not to be confused with, what's that big spider in Harry Potter? That's an A name also.
It is. Aragorn and what is that spider's name?
Harry Potter. Spider.
Harry Potter. I'm going to get
it. Is it Aragorn?
You.
Is it
Aragog? Jake's yelling at Coke.
Well, that's a tangent.
Well,
that's our trivia tangent. But anyway, these elves, they say they wear old fashioned clothes, like human clothes. That kind of throws me off. And they're said to be shy and elusive, but they can appear, there's an like invisible, but they can appear briefly if you're lucky. Mm. Maybe you'll get lucky.
Maybe. Twinkle, twinkle.
Sometimes they're described as exceptionally beautiful or strikingly handsome, like Legolas and Liv Tyler.
Yeah, they are beautiful people. I think Legolas, the character, I mean, they're elves, so of course they don't look human, but I think that's what makes them so, that ethereal look.
Yeah.
Like they don't look entirely human. They look, I don't know, otherworldly, alien in a way. And so it makes them, like, that exotic kind of makes things more attractive.
What if they are, you know how we, like, are combining all of our paranormal stories, but there are some stories of aliens that they call the Nordics, the tall whites.
Mm.
I wonder if that is related to the elves also. Like, everything's a crossover.
The Nordics. Never heard that one before.
They're, like, blonde and tall and pale-skinned. And supposedly it's one of the many alien races that are around here. Supposedly.
Right. I mean, I've lost track. I need some sort of compendium of alien races to refer to.
Okay, some eyewitness accounts. Johan Gothmundsson.
I already trust him.
He's a farmer in the West Fjords, and in the 20th century, he says, one evening, I saw a group of people dressed in old clothes walking across my field. When I called out to them, they vanished into a large rock nearby. I've never forgotten that night.
Yeah, that'd be pretty unforgettable.
Pretty unforgettable.
Huh.
Another witness, Arne Jonsson, a highway engineer, famously halted construction on a road because of the reports from locals who claimed it disturbed the elves' homes. He said, "We couldn't ignore the stories. The workers refused to continue because they felt like they were being watched. And later, when we rerouted the road, the disturbances stopped."
That's all the evidence you need.
Gorvrun Stefan Stodier, a local guide.
Good job. I have no idea if that was right, but that was
like
a mouthful.
Throwing that one out. I've heard many tales from tourists and locals alike about seeing figures near rock formations, especially at dusk. That's when you need to go out, Lens, at dusk.
Okay.
Sometimes the figures just watch silently, and as you get closer to them, they'll disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down for it. I might not come home from Iceland.
No, you might absolutely fall in love with it.
I know
it.
I'm going to. I already am in love with it. I already am, and I've never been. So we go to Iceland, and then we go to Scotland, and then we go to Ireland, and then we go to London for 4 days in England.
Yeah,
and then come home, and I think we have a stopover again in Iceland. I can't remember if we're nonstop to Seattle, but I think we stop in Iceland again. And I might just accidentally wander off.
Wander off the puck wedges.
Puck wedges.
You can just blame it on the puck wedges.
Somebody,
a portal.
The huge folk are going to get me. And I'm going to be like, no.
Oh, no.
Don't take me.
Don't take me into your house in the rocks.
Yeah. I look terrible in brown. Wink, wink.
I think that I love everything that I've heard about Iceland, too. The only thing I'm a little worried about for you is the food. But you got to try all the food.
No, there's so... Well, first of all, this is a terrible touristy thing I'm about to say. But there's tons of American food. So I know, like, for my kids,
but
they're going
to
be okay.
You're going to eat.
Oh, we're
going to
try
food.
I'm not eating... I will eat a lot of fish and chips on this trip.
Yeah.
I am not eating any kind of weird, slimy fish.
I think you should try something.
Pickled fish something.
I think you should try it, though. I've heard that they eat, like, a lot of fish and berries. There's not a lot of, like, food naturally in the icy, rocky area. But they do, like, work in, like lichen and berries and fish.
A lot of mutton and lamb.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I can't do babies. I can't. Mm-mm. Cannot eat baby mammals. I just can't.
No. No, I can't either. But maybe if I'm hungry enough, like, listen, it's going to be a few days.
Mm-hmm.
But I can hold out for a few days till I get to Scotland.
Oh, and then you got to try Scotland food, which
I've been
be
to
weird
Scotland.
Too.
And I've been to England. It's a lot of fried things. It's a lot of fried. And then I love fish and chips. I could live on fish
and
chips.
We're just gonna have fish and chips for 2 weeks.
Yep, and I like a Scottish breakfast with the like fried tomatoes and toast and beans and bacon. And my daughter, who doesn't eat beef or pork, is gonna struggle.
Yeah.
So
in Scotland and England.
I'm packing some of those Costco protein bars. They're amazing, and I eat one every morning, almost every morning for work.
That's smart.
And they give me so much energy, and they're super high in protein, and they're delicious. They're the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, and they're also the least expensive.
Cool. Yeah.
So I'm gonna pack a bunch of those for her just in case.
Well, I just can't wait. So we're going to be releasing podcasts that we're recording ahead of time. And then when Lindsay gets back, she can tell us about all of her adventures.
I hope I have some really cool paranormal things to share.
I hope you do, too.
But do not, let me put this out in the universe right now, Sandown Clown, if you are listening, you stay the heck away from me. Don't touch my children.
It's so funny to me that you picked Sam the Sandown Clown, because to me he's like...
I'm going to Scotland.
He's from the Isle of Wight. The Isle of Wight in the British Isles.
Yeah.
But to me, he's so tame. You pick like the tamest one. You don't like the clown.
He's a clown!
If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to our Sam the Sandown Clown episode. It's one of my favorite stories.
It's too nice. It's so nice and innocent. It makes it even creepier. I'm less afraid of something that's overtly evil, creepy, scary than something that's just like standing there in the middle of the woods, just talking to children who are unattended by adults with a clown face. Ew.
Well, I hope you don't see that. I hope you don't see anything scary. I just hope you see the cool stuff, the cool paranormal
stuff. We're
going to
see a lot of cool stuff.
You see like a floating light that like...
Oh, yeah.
Near your shoulders.
As
That'd
a kid
amazing.
When I went... The last time I went to Europe, I was 14. No, I'm sorry. I went to Spain when I was... I've been to Spain twice. The last time I was 25 or so. But neither of those times was I really invested in the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had been, my gosh. Because we were there for a lot longer. And I would have been like, let's go on this ghost tour and let's look for this. And let's bring an EVP, EVP recorder. Like, let's do all these things. And but I didn't... What you don't know, you don't know.
Yep.
So now I know.
Now
Should
we know
I bring
better.
An EVP recorder?
Do you have one?
I could get one.
Oh my gosh, Lindsay, I would love it if you brought one.
Like a little
first
kit?
Of all, but it'd be so cool to play with that stuff with you. Oh, I was going to show you. I got
Let's
it on
get
my
a
phone.
Little kit. A paranormal kit. Hunting kit. Ghost hunting kit.
What's in it? Yeah, I want to play with like spirit boxes with you.
Like a cheap one, obviously, to start.
I want to do the Estes experiment. Do you know what that is? The Estes method?
Yes, that scares me, but I'm down.
I want to do EVP, EMF.
You got to be the one with the headphones on first.
I'm not scared of it. I'll do it.
Okay, yeah. I'll ask the questions.
Yeah. I would love to play around with that stuff with you. And I told you, I bought an app on my phone. It was $4, but it's like a psychic training app that was written by one of the guys who was in the CIA doing the project. What's it called?
Oh, Project Blue Book?
Not Project Blue Book, but the other one where they did a bunch of psi experiments with remote viewing and stuff.
I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, he was part of that group that was doing that research, and he made an app that supposedly trains your brain to get to be psychic. And when I say be psychic, it's like, you know, there's like a chance of a normal non-psychic person, if you're looking at cards, two cards and guessing one, you got a 50% chance every time.
Okay.
The app is going to train you to be like 52% right or 53% right. Like there's not,
okay.
They did a bunch of research in the CIA on psychic abilities and remote viewing, and they were able to get people to have a higher than normal percentage rate of hits but never 100%, never 90%, never, do you know what I mean? It's
sure.
just slightly above average.
Okay, that's kind of impressive though.
Yeah, I've been trying the app and so far I'm still at 50%. When you do two, or if it's like four cards, your chance of getting it right each time is like 25%.
Right.
So your average, if you do it 100 times, your average comes out to around 25%. I'm still there. But supposedly the app's going to train me to be like 30% right.
Oh.
Or what, you know.
Okay.
Supposed to increase it bumps you up.
Get your energies channeled.
Yeah. We'll see if it works. Otherwise, I wasted $4.
Well, haven't we all? There's an 8-piece ghost hunting equipment kit. It includes 1 EMF meter, 1 spirit ghost hunting research case. Ooh.
A case.
1 voice recorder, 1 flashlight, 1 speaker, 2 motion light up cat balls, and 1 FM radio or EMF meter is what it's called.
That'd be fun to play with.
That would be fun. We'll get something like that.
We just need a spirit box. I need a spirit box on top of it.
Oh, is this the spirit box? I think it might be. Yeah, ghost box, headphones, and blindfold investigation hunting device.
You know, it's so funny to me that ghost hunters do sometimes. So they try and like put out something like a flashlight, and they ask the ghosts to touch it, and the light goes off. Something like
sure,
right? But they do it with objects that are purposely spooky, like a music box or a talking doll. That cracks me up.
Right.
That they would just like purposely be like picking something that's going to scare the pants off of them if it goes off.
You've heard of the Boo Bear.
What's the Boo Bear?
So the Boo Bear was designed, I mean, it's a scientific technology, piece of technology that has all the sensors in it, right? Like temperature, mm-hmm. touch, motion, vibrational, all the sensors and things in it. And then it has like voice responders. So it will respond like a creepy little toy to whatever's going on, like, oh, I'm so cold. So like if the temperature lowers and it has like this little glowing like little heart in it.
Oh, see, they're making it creepy on purpose.
Yeah.
Yes. That's funny.
But also to kind of draw out maybe childlike spirits or something.
What do we know?
I don't know. Ooh, we could get a spirit ghost hunting box, an EMF reader, and a recorder for $44.99.
That's a deal. I don't know how good they are.
Right? Let's see.
Supposedly, there's a certain kind of recorder that was made in the 80s that is catching a lot of the EVPs.
Yes, let's find out what that one is.
There's a fantastic episode all about it by my favorite podcast, Astonishing Legends. It's their Sally House series, which is like four episodes
long.
And they do a ton of research on that particular recorder.
Amy Bruni has talked about it, too.
Yeah, it's so good.
It is.
She's got one of those ones.
Yeah. The holy grail of EBP, the Panasonic
like DR60. $6,000 on eBay now or something.
Oh, geez.
Because they don't make them anymore.
Oh,
so golly. To get one is a find.
Oh, interesting.
We're like rambling, though.
This will all be deleted. It was discontinued due to its inherent tendency to produce electronic voice phenomena, which made it unreliable for its intended purpose as a standard voice recorder.
Because people kept catching creepy
That's
stuff
crazy.
On it. Extra voices.
That's wild. I wonder what they would recommend now, that Panasonic DR60, like on, what's the similar, like, you know what, if I do it on Amazon or whatever,
yeah,
what's it gonna say?
I don't know why they don't just take, like, they would have the specs for making that exact,
right? So they have
piece of equipment. Why
don't the they just overall remake it? Pick is the 64 gigabyte digital voice recorder with playback voice. This is the one I see all the time used, where it's got voice activation.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, for use in lectures or whatever, originally. That's the one I've seen used a lot.
I wonder if we could get a LiDAR thing. Wouldn't that be fun to poop around with?
A LiDAR? Like to scan the ground?
Yeah. I think it'd be kind of
like
neat.
A metal detector?
I guess, but like a fancy one.
Or like a ground-penetrating radar.
Ground-penetrating radar.
That'd be real expensive. Let's see how much those suckers are. Ground-penetrate on Amazon.
They might have it. They've got drones, they've got, and all everything. Kinds of stuff.
Oh. Striker. Dual-beam transducer. That might work. $159.99 for like a handheld thing.
My brother-in-law has this crazy device that's like this ground penetrating radar, but it goes in water when he's fishing, and
yep,
there's a camera, and you can literally see, it's like a video, yep, game, where all the fish are underneath you.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Mm-hmm.
A pipeline locator, which I bet could do all kinds of things. It's $3,000. And then they have dowsing rods, like, just in case you want to keep it real simple. Yeah, that's neat. That's so fun to think about, just play with. A plumber loaned me his pretty fancy, but old, but, you know, like a kind of a dinosaur, but still really good, like the best that's been made or something.
Mm-hmm.
Metal detector. I couldn't even get it to work. I didn't take the time to, like, do a deep dive on YouTube to figure it out, mm-hmm, but it was pretty fancy and cool, and then I had to give it back to him.
Oh, too bad. Before you could use
it. He let me use it for, like, a year. I had it, and I just never...
You should just do it around your backyard and see what you find. People take those down to the beach and find all kinds of stuff.
That's what you and I are going to do when we're old.
Yes.
We're going to do a lot of that kind of stuff, because we won't be able to move a whole lot, but we've got to keep it. We've got to, you know, motion is lotion. And so we'll just go down to the beach with our old lady tennis shoes.
Sounds great.
And high socks.
Sounds great. And UFO binoculars.
Yep.
Not bird watchers.
No, we're not looking for
UFO
birds.
UFO watchers.
Not looking for birds.
I can get out of your car.
Oh, but I have to show you. Okay, I'm going to stop this, but I have to show you my...
Class dismissed.
And don't open the door.